الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وجنبنا الفواحش والمعاصي والخطايا والزلل. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected brothers, elders and fellow community members. So we stand right now in a very delicate moment in the calendar of a believer, because this is now the final stretch of Ramadan, and this is actually the final Friday service of Ramadan. So we should take this moment as one that's filled with meaning, and it should be very heavy on our heart, but at the same time, we're also fluttering and excited in anticipation of the Eid celebrations next week. And this last moment of Ramadan, if we can detach ourselves from the world, then we'll appreciate how everything we've done over the past 3 weeks has led to this final moment. So this is the climax, this is the crescendo, this is the culmination of all of our hard work over the past 3 or 4 weeks. And then this will also be a taster and a glimpse as to how our emotional state will be when we're on the verge of death. So fasting is like a miniature model and a microcosm of this world. When you're in this world, Allah gives you a list of do's and don'ts. Just like when you're fasting, you're given a list of things to do and then a list of things to abstain from. And then finally, at the moment when you're allowed to break your fast, you can water your parched body, you can feed your emaciated bones, and you can finally sit back and relax and just soak in the nutrition, soak in the pleasure. That's in reference to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about fasting in and of itself. He told us that in the life of a believer, there are two moments of immeasurable pleasure and joy and ecstasy, and it's beyond explanation. You can't articulate how joyous you feel in that very moment. And there are two moments. One moment is a person who's fasting and they hear the call to prayer and they can finally break their fast. And everybody's experienced that. It's an inexplicable feeling. We don't know how to explain it. Everybody's completely silent and quiet because they're just basking in this joyous moment. They can feed themselves, they can eat, they can then nourish their body. And that happens every Ramadan. But then the Prophet zoomed out and then he said there is one other moment which is a source of unimaginable, incalculable pleasure for a human being. And that is the moment they meet their Lord. And the Prophet's drawing a direct parallel between the two. What he's trying to tell us is that this world is meant to be a prelude for the hereafter. This world is simply just the loading screen. This world is simply just an intermission. It's like you're waiting at the bus stop and then the bus comes to pick you up. We're just waiting in this world. We're waiting to be transitioned into the next world. And then he's saying, as for this world, a training ground for every moment we spend in this life is the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan should teach you, you have to be able to sacrifice something. You have to be able to give up during the day for you to have pleasure at the end. If you're going to indulge throughout your entire worldly life, then you'll be transacting here. You'll be swapping the pleasure and the dignity and the enjoyment of the hereafter with something that's very temporary, something that's very transient in this world. And this is one of the spirits of Ramadan. During our Friday night sessions, we've looked at the more vigorous, the more high octane, the more adrenaline saturated element of Ramadan, which is Ramadan as resistance, pushing back against the forces of evil that exist within your soul and then the agents of chaos around the world. But then there's a more subtle and there's a more intimate element to Ramadan, which is the dynamic of recalibration. So we resist, but then we also recalibrate. We also reevaluate. We also apply the brakes to this very fast-paced rat race world that we live in. 9 to 5, We don't have any time to think in the morning. We don't have any time to relax in the evening because it's either turn Netflix on straight away or then just slump in the couch. But Ramadan teaches you to put the brakes on and then just stop for a second and think. And this is what we want to discuss very quickly today, which is the tempo of life in Islam. And we're going to draw from the teachings of a very, very famous polymath and thinker called Imam al-Ghazali. And we're going to put a bit of a different spin on how Ramadan teaches us to interact and engage with time itself. The problem with the modern world is that everything is pushed into the service of productivity. And everything is pushed into the service of industry. Meaning, in the modern world, the central virtue for a human being is efficiency. Every moment has to be spent doing something productive. You can't waste a single time. But usually, that ethic is employed in the economic space. So every single second of your day should be spent towards earning money. Every single second of your day should be spent towards preparing your career to new heights. Every single moment of your day should be spent in, for example, accruing a greater portfolio. So it's always about accumulating, 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 more, 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 and more. That's how the modern man engages with time. Every single unit of time is now in his service. And there are famous thinkers in the past from the Western world. The famous polymath Benjamin Franklin, you might have heard his name. He was a thinker during the 1700s. He was instrumental in putting America on its course to independence. And he talked about this ethic of industry. And there was a famous saying of his, which has been turned into one of the mottos of the modern world. And he used to say, early to bed, early to rise. This will make a human being healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, what he's saying is completely coherent with our Islamic model. The problem is, his idea has been repurposed and repackaged to then be put into the service of finance and of money and of wealth and of just accumulating and in acquiring more and more and more. So that's been warped into now the new motto of time is money. How often do you hear that in the workplace? Even if it's not spoken out loud and it's not articulated, every single presentation you attend, every single corporate meeting, every single morning briefing tells you these are the tasks that we have to do. We need to optimize our efficacy, we need to maximize productivity. They'll tell you that in a university setting. They'll even give you a pack beforehand, different time management techniques. And at the end, the ultimate objective is always to acquire more things of the world. It's as simple as that. But Ramadan teaches you to stop. Because Ramadan teaches you every single moment is important. Every single moment can be operationalized or squandered by yourself. Throughout human history, we have had two separate cultures of timekeeping. Number one is called the clock culture. Number two is called the event culture. So after the Industrial Revolution, in the modern world, most human beings will evaluate their day based on these mechanical units of seconds and then minutes and then hours. And it's very unnatural and it's very inorganic because you'll stop an activity based on the time. You'll start an activity based on the time. You'll go to sleep based on a time, 10 p.m., 11 a.m., 12:30 p.m. So it's a very mechanical process. If you look at the past, most human beings, there are still some human beings who engage with a culture of event timekeeping, which is when do we wake up? Well, we wake up when we hear the rooster singing. When do we go to sleep? When we see the stars at night. When do we eat? When we see the midday sun reaching its highest point. And this means human beings are fine-tuned with the world around them, with natural phenomena. How did the Prophet ﷺ keep a track of time? For the Prophet, it was the 5 daily prayers. Every single prayer in the day was a milestone. So if you read the accounts of the companions, they'll never say, we went to sleep at 5 p.m. They'll never say, we accompanied the Prophet at 2 p.m. They'll say, we went with the Prophet somewhere after the midday prayer. Or they'll say, after the morning prayer, we would sit with the Prophet and discuss. And just before the nighttime prayer, the Prophet would engage in a discourse. So time for the companions was centered around the 5 daily prayers, was centered around worship. That meant that they were more conscious of time not as a currency to be able to further your career in this world, but time as capital, time as stock for you to invest in the hereafter. Think about it. Throughout the entire year, we're so oblivious of every second in our day. We're so heedless of how the day unfolds. But then come Ramadan, it's as if we've been injected with a dose of cognizance and consciousness. People who would only come to the mosque maybe once a week, just for the Friday service, people who might not have been familiar faces within the community, now every second for them is being evaluated. So they'll wake up in the morning and then they'll have one eye on the minutes because I need to open my fast. And then they'll be watching the clock, they'll be keeping a keen eye on time because when do I start my fast, when do I end my fast, and then how much time do I have left to this prayer, how much time will I need to take to get to the mosque, and how long will the imam take reading the Taraweeh or the night vigil tonight. So we become more aware of time in this month, on a granular level and then on a macro level. So during the day, we're fixated on the starting of the fast and the ending of the fast, and then during the month itself, how many people are constantly keeping an eye on the calendar? Have the first 10 days passed? First 10 days have passed. Now the second 10 days have started. Now the third 10 days have started. And then when will the night of power be? When will the month of Ramadan start? When will the month of Ramadan end? So there is no month in the entire year where human beings are more aware of time. So in order for us to recalibrate and take something back from the month of Ramadan, we should have a look at how are we engage with every single second and with time. Yes, we carry out deeds. Yes, we try to do more. But that conventional wisdom of Ramadan equals accumulation, that needs to be shifted a little bit. Because the month of Ramadan isn't just about here's your sack and fill it with as many good deeds as possible. The month of Ramadan is here's a month that's come to stop you in your tracks and to help you reorientate yourself, to help you focus on what really matters. So even though your sack might not be filled with as many good deeds, if you've altered your brain chemistry to engage with the world differently, then that's a massive win. That's the major breakthrough that we want to see. Because good deeds, they'll have an effect. You can do a good deed and then you might feel therapeutic, you might feel joyous, you might feel relieved. But then that feeling is only temporary. If you allow the month itself to alter the way you see the world, and you take that back as the gift of Ramadan, then that will keep you going for the next 11, 12 months until you can recharge in the next Ramadan. So how did Muslims in the past engage with time? Time wasn't a future phenomenon that was to be obsessed over, and time wasn't an event in the past that was to be, reminisced over. Islam strikes a balance. So instead of becoming fixated with my projections for tomorrow and an analysis of where I'm going to be in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, constantly strategizing, looking at the horizon, but then forgetting where you're walking. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to keep yourself stuck in the past, paralyzed by things that happened yesterday and throttled by events that took place in yesteryear. Allah says, focus on the here and now. Because every single moment could be turned into something momentous or something momentary. That's how Islam teaches us to engage with time. You have these moments. Every single second of your day is currency, is capital, is stock. Hasan al-Basri used to say, Yabna Adam, addressing all of us, Innama anta ayyam. You are literally made up of seconds and minutes and hours and days. That's our makeup. Forget about skin, flesh, bones, organs, metaphysically, what are we? Anatomically, what are we? We are defined by the currency of time. And he said, كُلَّمَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمْ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكْ. When a day elapses, when a day passes by, then that's also a part of your own self. That's also a part of your own human being and your soul withering away. So we are compositionally made up of moments. Each moment can be made momentous, or each moment can be momentary. We can do something with every single moment, or we can allow each moment to be squandered. In the terminology of the saints of the past, this is called Ibnul Waqt, being a son of the moment. And it's a really, really interesting concept, and I want you to wrap your heads around it. Being a son of the moment means living in the here and now. But that living in the here and now doesn't mean you're oblivious of the future, and doesn't mean you forget about the past. It means that every single moment carries this very weighty potential. Every single moment is capable of salvation, but every single moment is capable of damnation at the exact very same time. Which is why the prophet used to tell us, you could wake up in the morning, and by the time you go to sleep, you'll have lost your faith. Or you could wake up, or you could go to sleep at night, and then wake up having lost your faith. But the second example is so strange, because when you go to sleep, you're idle. You're paralyzed. You're not doing anything. But time is constantly moving. So whether you're engaging with time or not, time is constantly working against you. The concept of being an Ibn al-Waqt means living in the moment. And Allah actually characterizes his pious servants from the past as being children of the moment. What does he say? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ He says, the friends of Allah, the God-fearing saints. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ They don't fear over the future. They're not paranoid about what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't allow themselves to be gnawed by this frightening prospect of, will I wake up tomorrow with money in my bank account? Will I still be able to go to my job? What will happen to the world tomorrow? And they don't live with the fear of the past. They're not encumbered by events that took place yesterday. They're not weighed down by what could have happened and what I could have done and how things could have panned out. They live in the moment. And Imam al-Ghazali gives us the fantastic, the most apt prescription as to how we can then effect this change, this chemical change, on a granular level. He says every single day of a human being should be bookended by two things. In the morning, you should ask yourself, what do I want to achieve today? And then at the end of the day, you should then take stock and take account of your day. So building your intentions, and then at the end of the day, a bit of self-reflection and retrospection. But then he says, what paradigm should this take place in? He said this should happen within the frame of finance, of business. Somebody might say, I've never had a business myself. I'm not really an entrepreneur. Commerce isn't really my forte. But have a look at all of the examples Allah uses in the Quran to try and convey the importance and the premium of time to us. He uses models of business, of finance. When the Prophet tells us, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ When the Prophet says, there are two blessings a human being is endowed with, but they are so oblivious that they allow it to be squandered and they just waste it away and it withers into obscurity. There are two things, الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ Good health and then time. But the word the Prophet uses is مَغْبُون. مَغْبُون means somebody who's cheated and deceived in a store. You pay £10 for something and you're given a faulty product. Or the advert says £10, but then you turn up in the shop and now it has £5. Or it costs £15. That's ghabn. That's deception. So the Prophet is saying, you will be cheated of these things, just like somebody's cheated in a business transaction. So make sure you're financially and commercially savvy. Make sure you have that literacy about you. So Imam al-Ghazali says, when you wake up in the morning, you should have a conversation with yourself. The conversation should be between your merchant and then the merchant's partner. The merchant is your angelic soul, which is connected to Allah. And then the business partner is the animalistic soul, the one that's always tempted and distracted and disrupted. So in the morning, the merchant will tell his business partner who's going to open up the shop, look, you have new stock today. What's that new stock? 24 hours. That's your currency, that's your capital, that's your product. And you need to sell it. And you only have 24 hours. So make sure each moment is used wisely. Then at the end of the day, just like the business partner, will return back to the merchant and the merchant will ask for an audit and an evaluation. That has to be done every single morning and every single night. But then Imam al-Ghazali smashes this capitalistic, industry-focused ethic of the modern world. He completely demolishes it. In the modern world, they'll tell you every single moment has to be operationalized. Why? To accrue money. To make sure that you're richer tomorrow than you were today. To make sure there's more in your bank at the end of the day than there was at the start. And that leads to a burnout. It's this ethic of doing more and more and more and more. Imam al-Ghazali says it doesn't have to be more. You don't have to constantly be filling your bank account. There doesn't need to be a materialistic dividend that's being paid at the end. He says what's more important is to appreciate that each second isn't neutral. It's to appreciate, and this is a fantastic corporeal example. It's imagery that you can incorporate into your day. He says, every single second of your day has a corresponding vault and treasure storage house in the hereafter. Each second gives you the opportunity. You can take as many treasures from Allah and invest it there, or you can leave it barren, or you can pollute that treasure house and that vault in the hereafter with filth and rubbish. But it's all up to you. And he says it doesn't have to be every single second has to be spent with an overt act of worship. Every single second has to be spent in the mosque. Every single second has to be spent in giving in charity. Every single second has to be spent with Allah's name flowing from your lips. He said it doesn't have to be as cumbersome or as tiresome as that. All it has to be is, this is the revolutionary ethic of Imam al-Ghazali. If you take anything back from Ramadan, watching that clock 24/7, being conscious of time, which is slowly evaporating, then focus on this. Every single moment can make or break you. But every single moment simply requires you to change your perspective. That's it. It all depends on your intention. This is your philosopher's stone. It can turn something which is worthless, like base metal, iron, into something precious, like gold. And all it requires is for you to change your intention. So Imam al-Ghazali says, when you go to the bathroom, then go to the bathroom with the intention, I'm going to maintain this body Allah has given me. That's reward. That's reward that you get. That's money stored in your vault in the hereafter. When you eat your food, just eat with the intention of, I'm sustaining the body Allah gave me. So I want to carry out more worship. When you go to work in the morning, all you have to do, those 7 hours, 8 hours of work, sat at your desk droning away, turn it into worship. How? I'm going to work because this is a lawful means of income. I have to support my family and I have to do my bit contributing towards the world. That's it. Every single moment now is transformed into worship. So your vault is being filled in the hereafter without you even doing any overt act of worship. That's the revolutionary ethic of Imam al-Ghazali. That's how each moment of ours can be made momentous rather than being made momentary. So Ramadan is quickly passing. Ramadan should be a training ground to recalibrate how we see the world. And it's not always about moving forwards. It's not always about accumulating or doing more. It's about how can what I have right now be used for the purpose of good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to take benefit from time. And He allows us to take heed of Allah's warning in the Quran. When Allah says, "Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr." Allah swears by time. Allah says, I swear by every unit of time that's slowly melting away like a block of ice in the sun, verily human beings are in loss. Loss, financial, commercial sense, you've got your capital, which is time, and it's being squandered. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow our currency of time to be used to fill our vaults in the hereafter. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ash'hadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ash'hadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله حق التقوى نحن اليوم في آخر جمعة من رمضان في أيام معدودات وفي لحظات تكاد تنقضي وفي موسم من أعظم مواسم العمر يوشك أن يرحل ورمضان لا يعلمنا فقط الجوع والعطش ولا يعلمنا فقط القيام والتلاوة بل يعلمنا أمرا أعمق من ذلك كله يعلمنا قيمة الوقت يا عباد الله حياتنا ليست سنين مجردة ولا أعواما مبهمة بل حياتنا دقائق وساعات وأيام والإنسان إنما يعيش في هذه الوحدات الصغيرة التي كثيرا ما يستهين بها ولذلك أقسم الله بالزمان فقال والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر خسران لأن الوقت رأس مال الإنسان وإذا لم يحسن استثماره ضاع وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ مغبون فيهما أي مخدوع خاسر باع شيئا عظيما بثمن بخس وهذا هو شأن كثير من الناس مع الوقت يظنون أنهم يملكونه فإذا به يتفلت من بين أيديهم ويذهب العمر وتبقى الحسرة أيها المؤمنون نحن نعيش في زمن يقاس فيه كل شيء بالدقائق والثواني بالمواعيد والجداول بالإنتاج والإنجاز وصار شعار الناس الوقت مال وهذا المعنى من جهة فيه تنبيه على قيمة الوقت لكنه من جهة أخرى جعل كثيرا من الناس لا يرون قيمة الوقت إلا فيما يدر نفعا دنيويا أو مالا أو إنجازا ماديا أما رمضان فيأتي ليصحح هذا الميزان فيقول لك ليست كل إنتاجية هي ما يراه للناس قد تكون الساعة التي تقرأ فيها القرآن أعظم إنتاجاً من ساعة تربح فيها مالاً وقد تكون الدقائق التي تجلس فيها في الذكر والدعاء والتوبة أثقل في ميزان الله من أعمال كثيرة يصفق لها الناس ولهذا كان السلف يحاسبون أنفسهم ويقفون مع أيامهم وساعاتهم وقف الصدق وقد روي عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وهذا هو معنى رمضان أن تربط الإيمان بالوقت أن تجعل التوبة في وقت والقرآن في وقت والدعاء في وقت والمراجعة في وقت لأن الفكرة الجميلة إذا لم تربط بالزمان ذهبت والخشوع إذا لم يثبت في برنامج اليوم تلاشى والعزم إذا لم يتحول إلى عادة ضاع أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي ساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين المستضعفين في كل بلاد خاصة في فلسطين وسودان ويمن وإيران. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Please straighten your rows, stand shoulder to shoulder, ensure all gaps are filled in. صفي سيريون مكمل فرما أقيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه بلى قادرين على أن نسوي بنانه بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه يسأل أيان يوم القيامة فإذا برق البصر وخسف القمر وجمع الشمس والقمر يقول الإنسان يومئذ أين المفر كلا لا وزر إلى ربك يومئذ المستقر ينبأ الإنسان يومئذ بما قدم وأخر بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه كلا بل تحبون العاجلة وتذرون الآخرة وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة ووجوه يومئذ باسرة تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق وظن أنه الفراق والتفت الساق بالساق إلى ربك يومئذ المساق فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى ألم يك نطفة من مني يمنى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.